For today, for the rest of today, the next half hour or so, I would like you to focus on lesson seven. Okay, kind of jumped over five and six, which I will find a way to come back to because they are important. Those two lessons are this very important concept, talking about the pathway through the tabernacle as a type to shepherd people into God eventually, indicating that shepherding work of the believers is a progressive activity. It's a progressive work. We just like to go and fight fires and take care of some instant current need. That's necessary. That's necessary. That's part of it. But our main work, we got to have our eyes on the ball, our eye on the ball, and that is, it is to guide them, lead them as shepherd, these sheep on the path of righteousness. That path of righteousness is also the path of life or the way of life, all the way into God and into God's house. And then there's another lesson five on shepherding believers in home meetings, which is actually very important in our practice. That one place that we shepherd people. This home meeting is not your small group meeting with 12 people. This home meeting is an appointment, what I would call an appointment, a one-on-one, two-on-one. You know, Paul says in Colossians chapter one, in the end, about his struggle. His endeavor to teach every man and to eventually to present every man. Paul does very detailed work, a man at a time. So that's why Brother Lee would ask us, don't just say that you're a burden for shepherding. No, I like to know who you are shepherding and where you are in the shepherding and how is it going along. See, I don't want to call it a project. That's too cold and too, but you know what I mean. It is a long-term endeavor to shepherd someone properly and successfully. But I will go back to that. Today, I want to introduce you to the practical points, lesson seven, huh? Practical points concerning shepherding. I'd like to tell you, in 1975, when the Lord gave you my story and testimony, when I was first convicted and by the Lord to take this way of caring for people, not just to caring for things. My service is not about just cleaning the hall and doing many things, which are not unimportant. We need to do that. But our main service is about people and caring for people and feeding people and nourishing people and raising up people, even training and discipling people in the long term to be useful members in the body for the building up of Christ's body. This is what shepherding, why shepherding is so tied with the building up of the building of the body. I dare say there's really no rich and full building of the body without shepherding, the ministry of shepherding. No, it's almost impossible. And another thought here is in Ephesians 4, 13, I forgot the verse, that verse that says that God has given so many gifts first as persons, apostles, evangelists, prophets, evangelists, and then what? Shepherds and teachers. The fourth being one class of people, according to the grammatical makeup. So shepherds and teachers. Now, elsewhere in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 28, when Paul listed all these gifts to the body, shepherd was not mentioned there, just teachers. Okay? Apostles, prophets, teachers. So the teachers are those who teach what the prophets reveal, according to God's economy. And so And then you go and read both Paul and Peter and put them together. It's very, very clear in their charges to elders. It includes these two things. They have to be flocks, you know, and I mean shepherds of God's flock. And number two, they have to be apt to teach. Okay, so teaching, which includes exhortation and so forth, is a most important part of shepherding. A lot of times the shepherding we talk about are more on the cherishing side, which is needed, which is the always needed to warm up someone, to, you know, take care of their physical needs, to cherish them. You know, we need to do that. We have another lesson just on that, cherishing and nourishing, in the last series of the Vital Group training. The subject, the burden was shepherding, and Brother Lee, you know, coined this very, very famous line now. We cherish people with the humanity of Jesus, and we nourish them with the divinity of Christ. Okay, my point is, there's the cherishing side, there is the nourishing side in shepherding. And just as there is shepherding and teaching, they are inseparable, all right, in this work of caring for others. So 1975, when I was convicted and really have a major new start in my service to the Lord, until now, in that training, Brother Lee also gave us these points, practical points concerning shepherding. And he had a whole list of them. Here we have from A to O. You know, I don't know how many points that is. So there's like 16, 17 points. This is a list for those of us who are learning how to shepherd that it's good for you to carry in your pocket. You know, I have different lists for different things. This is one of those lists of, what do they call? It's not a cheat sheet, huh? But you know what I mean. It is a very, very useful one because I tested it. I did it, and I'm still very, very much following this, these points to help me in my shepherding over time. And these are all words from experience, words of experience of Brother Lee's own work of shepherding. You know, he once said that if he would have a choice, and don't quote me, paraphrasing here, he would rather do the work of shepherding than speaking, you know, giving messages. Someone can find that quote for us. It's kind of end of life period. He esteemed shepherding to such a degree. So don't think if you don't stand on the podium, you are useless. Far from it. The more important work is behind the podium, you know, in our regular church life. And some people are great speakers, but they cannot shepherd. And they do not shepherd. Yes, that happens. Okay, so here I'll just go through them very quickly because of time. One, it says we all need to shepherd others in our daily life. We've been talking about this. Sisters who are mothers know that nothing is as demanding as being a mother, for nothing and no one in the universe is as demanding as children. So sisters, get that book, Loving Mothers in the Church Life. Okay, that little book specifically for sisters about caring for the young ones, how that would actually end up transforming you, just like children are little transformers of their parents. See, when you don't have children, you become weird. You know what I mean? You become strange. the children, you know, cause you to have to change and to meet the need. Okay, two, similarly, nothing is demanding as shepherding, nothing, not even giving a message, not even gospel preaching. Just as in child raising, everything related to shepherding is not up to us. It is up to the new ones. We cannot say that we have no time, that it is not convenient. You will find once you get into this, you don't dictate. You know, I have no time now. You got that 3 o'clock phone call? That's it. There's 911. You know what I mean. You're saying this is when we begin to really live for other people. We live for the church. We live not me first. We live not according to our time and our schedule and our convenience. Ultimately, this is to lay down our soul life for the sheep. Be every member in the church has the normal ability to serve shepherd people. Everyone who is here in this broadcast this morning, you have the normal ability to shepherd people. You do. Because you're born with it. Because the life we see is a shepherd's life. It's the shepherd himself. So one, some may argue that shepherding is a gift that not every brother or sister has. However, no one would say that raising children is a gift that some have and others do not. Child raising is not a special talent, but a talent given by birth. Yes, there are some mothers who do a better job than others. Yeah. But it's not like someone is super gifted and this one is born with no gift. No, just as raising a child is not a gift. I mean, the child is a gift from God. But child raising is not dependent on a gift. It's dependent on labor and work and love and commitment. So it's not about talent. Don't use the talent as an excuse. I don't have the gift of shepherding. You're wrong. You're wrong. You can have spiritual children, and you need the spiritual children. We all need to beget spiritual children and raise up spiritual children. Two, in the same way, by our spiritual birth, every member in the church has the gift of shepherding. Even someone who has been saved for a few days can learn to shepherd. I believe that heart, that love for others, for men, for the believers, for the brothers, is just there. You know, I have a bunch of grandkids, and they the older one look after the younger one. You know, younger by 2 years. It's real because they spontaneously would have that kind of a care. It's actually good, dear saints, to start a new believer early to care for others, to start building up in them a heart, the heart of a shepherd, and start by being a little shepherd. Brother Lee said, we need many high school sisters to shepherd the junior high sisters. Really? Maybe in a not so mature way, not so, but they're learning to care for people from a young age. See, in order to be the proper normal members of the church in the Lord's recovery, we need to build up a daily life of the gospel, and we need to go to the Lord for him to show us who should be under our care and our shepherding. Go to the Lord for him to show us that. Okay, just go to the Lord. If these two matters are built up in the church, that is gospel preaching and shepherding, we will have a normal, proper church. These are two main metrics, okay, gauges of the normality of a church. It's not just how spiritual we are or that kind of thing. These two things. They both have to do with the increase of the Lord's body and the building up of God's flock. Okay, number two. Now, here are the points. I'll be quite key. And you need to get into them. The young ones among us memorize them. Let this be in your heart. And these points will guide you and somewhat constrict you and help you to have the proper shepherding, because there's some improper shepherding being done as well, right? That cause problems. It hurt more than they help. Okay, point one. We need not be quick. Okay, this is point first. But should spend an adequate amount of time to shepherd people. So you need to spend time. There's no replacement for time. Brothers and sisters, just to even listen to someone so they can speak and you get to really know them, it takes time. There's no hit and run here. You better pace yourself and prepare yourself to commit yourself and give yourself to time. So, for example, 1 week, you would say, Lord, I will set aside an hour, 2 hours, just to shepherd. It's set. Even this day and that day, I visit people. I contact people. I use that time just for these ones, something like that, according to the Lord's leading. And don't expect something quick. Okay? The good things, the lasting things, take time. Okay, B, the second point, we should be positive and not sloppy. Okay? One, although we should not be too quick, we must be very positive. We don't use the word aggressive because that doesn't sound right, but very positive. You know, it's attitude. If you're negative, oh, this person is terrible, I need to shepherd him. Well, you better not shepherd if you have such a negative mentality. You have to be positive. Even your child is a naughty kid. Well, how would you care and raise help him if you don't hold a positive attitude? It's no different. Very often, positive persons are quick ones and slow persons are passive, even sloppy and uncaring. We should not be too quick, but we must be positive and on time. To this end, we need much work of the cross on our disposition. Some of us are just too passive when it comes to people. Well, they don't call me. Well, that's precisely the point. They don't call you. You need to go and call them. Well, I don't want to be nosy on other business. No, this is not being nosy. You have to do it in a proper way, right? Everyone is different. You need the wisdom. You need some skill. But nevertheless, you need to be proactive when it comes to caring for people. Positive. And you don't care for people once a quarter. Well, you know, if situation allows you only to do that, you do that. But in a local situation, in a more regular situation, the more we have contact with people, you know, up to a certain point, the better, because they need the food, they need the care. So go against your disposition. Oppose, Brother Lee said, even overthrow your disposition. Some of us are we just procrastinate. Well, he'll be okay. He'll be okay. Well, 2 months later, that person is dead. You know what I mean? No. The parents know the children more than they know themselves. You know when to feed. You know what to feed. Or you should know, right? Every good parent is aggressive or positive towards the children. See, we need to, third point, we need to listen to others in order to realize their true need and real situation. I can only recommend that one chapter in the book, The Character of the Lord's Worker by Watchman Nee, on being a good listener, learning to listen, a long chapter, very, very useful. You know, although we are not psychiatrists, psychologists, but there's certain principles that you need to hear first. You need, others need to tell you. Now, we should be very careful here not to be have the lust of hearing and the desire to get into people's private affairs. That's a big one, no. But to learn to listen to others, to understand their real situation and need is a skill that we have to pick up. One requires us to stop our own thought, concept, feeling, and speaking while we're shepherding them. We should be open to others and allow the situation to speak to us. This is not easy. I made these mistakes a lot. And that is, by the fifth sentence, I said, I know it. I got the answer. And I become impatient that they would just stop and I would dispense my answer. It was too quick, too self-confident. I tell you, you really don't know. It takes many contacts, events, to understand that person's real inner situation. So a lot to learn, a lot to learn. We should allow those who we're caring for to say something, try our best to understand them, and put ourselves into their place to understand their situation in the same way that they do. This is empathy. Am I right? This is to be empathetic. That is the Lord. You know, that is the Lord's life. You know, he saw the Israel, house of Israel, in his earth when he was on the earth. He says many cases, and he had compassion on them. What's that? That's empathy. He saw the dead. He saw the sick. He saw the blind. He empathized as a human. He empathized with them, understanding them. You know, a lot of times our care for people is they just need someone to understand, to not judge them. You see what I mean? To be able to be in their shoes, to feel what they feel. I mean, this is 1 Corinthians 12, am I right? You know, the uncomely member and so forth. We could give them more honor. And then it says, you know, we suffer with those who suffer. We rejoice with those who rejoice. This is the Bible. And this is human in a God-man way. So this is some saints, they need really to learn this. They just never have this. And you need to learn this and pick that up to care for people. Okay, the fourth point, we should visit others without saying much about that. You say, well, I thought shepherding is to teach. Well, that's true. But sometimes you teach by not speaking. You teach doesn't mean you do all the talking. You teach means you say the right words at the right time. All right? That's two different things. One, this is the hardest lesson to learn in shepherding. Hardest lesson. The longer we wait to say something, the better it is. Sometimes we're just too quick. Just talk, 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 talk. In the end, oh, I shepherded someone the whole time you're talking. That's not the way. The first thing is listen. Listen. Then, in a measured way, in an anointed way, that means with the Lord's leading, you say something. Many times, maybe not that much. The last 5 minutes, oh, this person just received so much consolation, comfort, and so cared for, and they receive some light from that little verse you brought up. You know what I mean? Two, because we all don't have to check the lust to talk. Just check that, okay? Because we all assume that we know so much, it's hard to say, I don't know. Brother Lee taught us to say, ni, taught us to say, I don't know. Because strictly speaking, we do not know much. And what we know, we do not know thoroughly. The older I get, the more I see the wisdom and the truth of this. I really don't know. The younger I am, the more I think I know everything. The older I get, I realize how much I really don't know. This is not just a word of humility. This is a word of fact. We really don't know that much. So we need to rely on the Lord. We need to pray. We need to seek Him. We should not be so presumptuous or self-confident when we care for people. E, okay, number five, we should not make decisions for others. Very important. Some of us just love to give, dispense advice and tell people what to do. Oh, do you think I should go there? No, you should go here. But who are you to tell this person, this saint, where to go? Only the Lord is his head. Now you can respond. You can help them to consider things. You need to, you know, guide them a little bit based on your experience, but don't make decisions for others. I also made this mistake. Sometimes the decisions were okay, turned out okay, but there were definitely instances it was wrong. It was not good. We shepherd people, but that doesn't mean we control them or we decide things for them. We need to, shepherding eventually is to lead someone to the Lord. And let the Lord really, really shepherd them. We need to be honest with the ones who are under our care, but we all must be restricted by the Lord not to make their decisions. Some of us have really, really have self-control in this matter. You say, well, that person just cannot make up his own mind. Well, give it some time and still exercise wisdom. Some people, eventually, they say, well, he told me to do that. You told him to do that. And you did. And it turned out not good. That happened as well. Number six, we should never argue with people, regardless of whether they're right or wrong. We must avoid the temptation to adjust others and convince them or sell our good opinions and concepts. Okay, definitely you don't argue with your sheep, right? You lost it. You lost it. You lost your position. You lost your right even. You lost your good faith with this person. And that happened too. So don't get into the right and wrong in that kind of a way. And definitely don't, when you're in the flesh, don't shepherd anyone. Okay. And try not to adjust people or broadly say sell or impose your opinions, your good opinions and concepts. Look to the Lord. Just look to the Lord. What you should say. I'll tell you, these things are not easy. I will tell you this. But we have to learn. Next point, we should not pass on vain knowledge. Well, you just read a book. So you shepherd someone by telling them all about that book. I'm not saying that's bad. But I'm saying you may, this is called what? To boil a kid in the mother's milk. Have you heard of that? To boil a kid in the mother's milk. This is like you are burning them with all your milk, wonderful milk, but the milk are too hot and it burns them rather than nourishes them. So don't just pass on the last message you heard or the last thing you got, and then you proceed to tell them your revelation, your knowledge. No. Shepherding is not a time you display your knowledge. Again, even that is a self-centered act. I know. I want to say. I want to do. It's not about you, brothers and sisters. It's about the sheep. It's about the others. One, people may ask us about many matters, but we must learn to exercise our spirit to discern the purpose of those questions. Sometimes those questions are not asked in a pure way by others. Then you need some discernment how to respond to them. Two, if we discern properly, we may realize that the questions are in vain. We must learn to be wise, not to be involved with questionings. This is also a difficult lesson for us. How do you walk this line? Not to impose your opinions and ideas, right? At the same time, not to be distracted by what they are talking about. Some people can talk like that. Just take you into the forest so that nobody knows where they are. And that kind of fellowship and time would not be profitable. So how to discern that and how to wisely, you know, navigate that fellowship or that conversation, that time, for profit, we need to learn. H, we should not be involved in any negative talk. We must be another realm, another kingdom. So easy for us to be a transmitter of something negative, something trashy in the church life. Don't get into gossip. Don't get into this kind of a murmuring. Don't get into complaining. You know, because you're caring for this one, what you do, they look at, and they may even imitate subconsciously. If you are this kind of person, they will also become this kind of person. I mean that. I mean that you're older, you're more experienced. They trust in you. They may even imitate you. So we have to behave ourselves with those who care for in such a careful way. We should be honest and not political, answering honestly yes or no. Okay? Don't play politics. You will always come back to haunt you. And I'm not saying be brutally honest, you know, to the point of hurting people and causing people vexation and pain. Of course, we're not talking about that. But do not play politics. Do not maneuver things. Do not manipulate people. Sorry, some of us are just good manipulators. Do not manipulate. All right? And it's like one more minute. Most importantly, we should minister to life to others. You can read the points. I will just read the big points, huh? They all have small points you can get into. Next point, K, we need to take the lead to bring others into a prayer life. This is what I mean. The ultimate work of each appointment, each fellowship, each time we're with people, we lead them to Christ. And one way is to lead them to pray. It's not bad, not as a legal practice, that at the end of the time with someone, you may say, let's have a word of prayer. Let's bring this to the Lord to help them to do that. All right? Only the Lord can give us leading. Only the Lord's presence is what they need. Okay, L, we need to contact people with patience, needless to say. I would even say endurance, especially for some with problems, some who are weaker, some who have complicated situations. It takes time. It takes time. It tries our patience. But we need to still be patient and not give up and contact the person and care for this person again and again. Now, there may come a time that it becomes, you need to back off and you need to give it some time, the Lord some time and the situation some time. That happens. That can happen. But still, in principle, we need patience. Our brother said it's worthwhile to recover a brother, a backslidden brother, in 3 years. To take 3 years to recover a backslidden one. All right. And we need to trust those who are under our care. Well, the way to for this matter of trust, to earn people's trust, is we need to give them our trust. We need to trust them who are under our care. These are finer points, more nuanced points, but you need to study them, and you need to learn how to do this. If your care for someone comes from a place, the right place of love, of trust, of genuineness, eventually people will know it. So this is not fake. This is not just temporal. That they're not taking me on as a project. Do you know what I'm saying, brothers and sisters? It comes from the right place, within us. Trust is one of those things. When people will trust you, they will really open up to you. Sometimes it takes time. But the trust goes both ways, huh? We should never force anyone to do anything. We should not even try to overly influence people. Forcing, pushing, coercing, cajoling, convincing. Let people make their decisions. We may steer them in a certain direction as the Lord leads, but we don't impose, we don't, control people's lives. We should fellowship with others according to our experience. That means do not just rely on just knowledge, just teaching, or so-called just truth. We need to actually rely on law, on the life side, our experience, our testimony, our learnings. People get the most help actually not just from truth points. People get the help when they hear about your applying those points, your experience of those points. Then those truth points become accessible to them. They can be led in, guided into the experience by your experience. I will stop here. I'm over by 3 minutes. My apologies. Paul, back to you.